Welcome back to the next part of our week three training on money flow and the different ways of earning money. So for this video, I wanted to share with you how my experience relates directly to what I'm sharing with you and what I've been sharing with you this week. So I am someone that during the time period that I very much wanted to quit my job, but couldn't figure out how I was going to afford this life that I wanted, I noticed that I found numbers overwhelming. Money was overwhelming to me. I just, like, if I tried to look at it, the idea of like investing it and saving it and all these different, you know, compounding, all these things, I was like, what are you talking about? And just actually, if somebody tried to talk to me about it, it's like my brain went into overwhelm and I just couldn't even take it in. So what I decided is I had this gaping hole in my knowledge that I needed to fill, because this unknown area was a problem in me creating the life that I wanted. So I signed up for a financial planning class at NYU. Now, if you've never taken a financial planning class, I highly recommend it. One of the things that I've noticed is that I think pretty much globally in terms of education, we are taught to read, to write, to do math, pretty much everything we need to do to be able to graduate and get a job. But nowhere in that training, you know, home economics, what is, how to cook? I mean, nowhere in that training does anyone talk about what is credit card debt? How do you get it? And how do you not, like, what do you need to do to not have credit card debt? How do you save the money that you're going to earn? What's a good proportion of money to spend on your rent and your stuff? You know, nobody actually teaches that in school. Duh. So highly recommend that you go educate yourself after school. So take a financial planning class. I loved that, you know, there were many great resources in, you know, things that you can read that help you understand your spending and your saving styles. And if you feel like you're too much of one or too much of the other, how to sort of recalibrate. Most empowering, I thought, was learning when, you know, to look at like your entire financial package. So I think we get conditioned to be like, oh, well, you know, I have a savings account and there's like $50 in it. Oh shit. Well, you know, typically if you're coming from a corporate job, you actually have other buckets of money. So the financial planner will help you look at all of them. If you are investing in financial planning, the education of it, or meeting with a financial planner before you quit or before you're laid off, clearly that gives you more time to save more quickly. But it's okay even if you don't. Just the very knowledge of what you have and talking to someone about like where you can build some of your buckets that you're going to need can be really, really empowering, and I strongly recommend it. So I took this financial planning class. I kind of got an understanding of, you know, where, like, what is the entire package that I have? What is spendable? What is not spendable? Things like that. The other thing I did is I gave up my apartment in New York City. And that was a huge thing, because like I'm born and raised in Manhattan. So to give up this home in, you know, this felt like monumental in my life. And I actually sold a bunch of stuff, right? So I went through many of the steps that I was trying to share with you earlier in, you know, how am I going to sell this stuff? And oh, it's not quite as easy as just, you know, woohoo, yard sale. I learned from that experience also about, you know, what the value of my stuff is, that it might be different to someone else, but it's still really helpful. Cash is still helpful. And it's better to get some cash than no cash. That's really helpful. And getting rid of my New York City apartment was actually the biggest chunk of my budget. And by eliminating that chunk, I was able to pave the way for me to travel. I also have been an entrepreneur since about 2010. So I've had, what were side gigs, and, I learned about the money cycle through that, right? So when you're working for yourself, of course you have to do work, you know, and put effort out to get business. And there is a direct correlation to that cycle. That's another cycle as well. And so I got used to the fact that Depending on my effort and, you know, where it was spent and how it was spent, 1 month might be not so good. And another month might be so staggeringly good that it made up for like that and the next 3 months if I didn't earn anything. So that's what I mean about money flow. So I was able to plug into those cycles so that I didn't have to be anxious if I, you know, if I didn't have the amount of money I wanted in month one. I could look at, well, what do I need to do differently to boost up months two and three and so forth. It is a shift. It's an important shift, right? So when you are working in corporate, someone else is doing all that nice legwork for you of setting up your money. If there's taxes that have to be deducted, they are also supplying you with the customers they want you to go after or work with. And so when you are on your own, of course, you're doing a lot of this yourself. So it's not quite as easy. But it can still be done. And again, it's just a different frame of reference. The other thing, the other big shift that I made is I was living a much more luxurious lifestyle, and I was willing to downgrade so that I could expand and extend the amount of time that I travel. So in my case, that means I'm staying in more budget accommodation or long-term housing instead of, staying at the Ritz-Carlton or some spa hotel. And, hey, don't get me wrong, love that stuff. But, you know, for me, it's this choice about, do I want this luxury experience or would I like another month of travel? Because in many cases, like one luxury experience could be, depending where you are, up to a month of travel. These are the choices that that I made, and you're gonna need to start thinking about as you look at what you're buying and how you're spending. Do you need that thing? Do you want that thing? Is this thing worth having when it means you won't be able to have potentially something else that you want? So I'm just trying to give you some frames of reference for your thinking. The other thing is that I negotiate prices all the time, as I shared with you before. So absolutely everything to me is an opportunity to negotiate. Again, in the supermarket, maybe I don't, but I do look at very much at those prices, which tell me that something's on sale this week. Do I actually need all four or all 10? Or if I do the math, is the 50 cent for one enough for me, right? And usually I come to the conclusion that I only need one. So I'm actually saving, $5 and do that a few times. And now it's like $20 because you were willing to get one instead of the five here and the 10 there that you didn't actually need and would sit and potentially rot in your house. So do that math, and also, negotiate, especially if you are a regular consumer of something that you need. See if people are willing to, if you're willing to buy 10, would they give you the 11th one free, something like that. So, think of it like Starbucks even, right? Gives you coffee cards. Coffee cards are common. So, for every X amount of coffees, you get a free one. So, this is a standard thing, even, negotiating and rewarding, buying in from the same place and the same person. So you might consider whether discounts are available. They might not be, but again, like I said, if you don't ask, you won't know. So that concludes our week number 3, and next week I will be back to talk to you about reskilling.